Welcome to Standard Chartered Money Insights, a podcast series by Standard Chartered Bank that brings you market views and insights on the go.
Hello, everyone. My name is Manpreet, and welcome to Through the Noise. Now, this week, the focus shifts firmly to policy events, past and future. Now, in the US, we're still quite far away from the November presidential election, but this week marked a milestone in that after the Super Tuesday primaries, the US presidential contest looks increasingly like a Biden versus Trump battle. So that's in the US, of course. But meanwhile, in China, of course, we had the National People's Congress, which was an important focus given markets continue to be on watch for any policy support from an economic growth perspective. So big events in recent days and upcoming, but what do these mean for financial markets? To answer this and more, I've got with me a regular on the podcast, Fouke Anyap, who's a senior investment strategist in the CIO office. So welcome, Fouke. Thanks so much for joining us today. Now, starting with the US, it looks like Trump has all but secured the Republican nomination to take on Biden in the US presidential election in November. Now, today, at least, opinion polls show that Trump is ahead of Biden in the presidential race, and the primaries should, if anything, provide him with a bit of a tailwind. From an investor's perspective, what should we watch out for, and specifically, what could investment implications look like?
Yeah, thanks, Manpreet. It is still too early to forecast the eventual winner, but a Trump and Biden rematch is likely to raise geopolitical and market uncertainty. We believe that a second Trump presidency is likely to be initially positive for U.S. assets and the U.S. dollar and significantly disruptive for the world. So ultimately, the candidate's chances and the impact on markets are likely to be guided by whether the U.S. economy manages a soft landing with bouts of volatility driven by politics. History suggests that President Biden has a higher chance of winning if the U.S. manages to avoid a recession. So what to watch for in the election are six so-called swing states that really matter in the U.S. electoral system. And these six states are Arizona, Georgia, Wisconsin, Nevada, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. The other states in the U.S. have consistently voted for candidates from one of the two main U.S. parties. And in recent elections, U.S. presidents have been elected on the back of narrow wins in some of these swing states. So the opinion polls, they show that Trump is currently ahead in five of these six swing states. So for all of them, except for Pennsylvania. So the two candidates, they do have divergent policy priorities. For investors, in a nutshell, Biden signals policy continuity and a more nuanced stance on foreign and trade policy. In contrast, a Trump presidency is likely to be disruptive, both domestically through immigration curbs at a time when the labor market is tight, and also disruptive for the rest of the world. So one of Trump's policy priorities is to impose a 60% tariff on imports from China and a 10% tariff on other trade partners, including the European Union. And now Trump also plans to cut US corporate taxes, so the impact on financial markets will likely be determined by the sequence of his policy implementation. For example, will the proposed corporate tax cuts come before legislation on immigration and or the import tariffs? So we think that U.S. equities are likely to emerge as winners versus the rest of the world if Trump wins, as he's likely to cut corporate taxes and impose tariffs. As we flagged in our 2024 Outlook report, gold and other safe haven assets such as your developed market, investment-grade government bonds are likely to be well-supported in the coming months amid elevated geopolitical uncertainty until the U.S. elections. So the U.S. 10-year Treasury yield, it has fallen below its 200-day moving average and a 50-day moving average of 4.11% after pulling back from a strong resistance around 4.35%. So investors with a 6 to 12-month horizon have an opportunity now to lock in these elevated yields.
Thanks again for that comprehensive overview. Maybe moving now to China. We had, of course, the National People's Congress, but there appears to be a hint of disappointment from financial markets, at least, which appear to be going in with higher expectations. In your view, what do the developments mean for Chinese financial assets specifically?
Yeah, so China's government work report was unveiled at a meeting of the National People's Congress, or NPC, and it disappointed some investors who were looking for more stimulus. Now, in terms of the growth and inflation target, the growth target of around 5% and inflation target of 3% are largely in line with expectations. Now, in fiscal policy, though, the budget deficit target of 3% is significantly lower than the target of 3.8% in 2023 and consensus estimates. However, bear in mind this 3% does not include the multi-year central government bond issuance plan, which is 1 trillion RMB, and a special local government bond issuance plan, which is 3.9 trillion RMB. So accounting for these, the augmented fiscal deficit is around 12.2% of GDP. So on balance, we think the fiscal tone is marginally positive, and it suggests the willingness of the central government to contain local government debt risk. Now, on policy reforms, the government acknowledged and pledged to address both insufficient domestic demand and overcapacity in certain industries. In monetary policy, the PBOC government PAN has signaled that there was still scope to cut the reserve requirement ratio, or RRR, at one of the NPC press conferences. So on the back of these outcomes, we maintain our neutral view on both onshore and offshore China equities. So the absence of a large-scale stimulus means a catalyst for Chinese equities to rise sustainably still remains absent. This suggests that China equity markets are likely to trade range-bound in the near term. That said, the targeted fiscal and monetary policy are likely to help limit downside risk. We also remain neutral on the Asia US dollar bonds, of which Chinese issuers, including Hong Kong and Macau, form more than half of the universe. So outside the real estate sector, most of your China US dollar bonds, especially those rated investment grade, are trading at a tight spread premium over US government bonds. So this suggests that significant outperformance from here is unlikely without meaningful large policy support to boost growth. And FX, looking at the US dollar to the CNH, it was largely stable this week, with a three-month volatility reaching a two-year low. So in the short term, the CNH is likely to benefit from the targeted budget spending plan. However, we expect the US dollar to also strengthen on economic resiliency. Hence, we expect the US dollar to CNH to continue to trade in a narrow range around 7.2 over the next 1 to 3 months.
Okay, and finally, maybe just zooming in on Chinese equities. Of course, a lot of focus recently on the swings in sentiment, which have manifested themselves as swings in multiples. But I know you sort of are quite focused on the earnings side as well. What are you looking for from China's earnings season?
Yeah, so although China equities have been volatile this year, the underlying earnings estimates have actually been stable. MSCI China, they've seen a peak-to-trough decline of 12% year-to-date before rebounding to recover most of this decline. However, the FactSet estimates for MSCI China's 2023 expected earnings growth has remained stable at 14.8% since the start of the year, while 2024 expected earnings growth has nudged down to 15.7% currently from 15.9% at the start of the year. So this suggests that China's stock market volatility has been driven by fluctuations in the valuation multiple being applied to the market. And this multiple in turn depends on the equity risk premium and longer term growth expectations, which are often swayed by investor sentiment. So nonetheless, we believe earnings growth itself matters as a key driver of equity returns, particularly any positive or negative surprises. With a low valuation pricing in a lot of negative sentiment, any positive earnings surprise should reassure investors and support the market higher. We expect the earnings season to point to a gradual recovery in consumer spending, with some signs already seen in the Lunar New Year travel data. Hence, our preference is for exposure to consumption-oriented sectors in China, such as consumer discretionary, communication services, and technology.
Okay, well, I think that's all the time we have for today. So we'll bring it to an end there. But just as always, if I can sort of summarize the key takeaways from our conversation today. First, of course, just focusing on the potential outcomes in the US election. The focus on a potential Trump victory could be quite disruptive for many sort of financial assets, but U.S. equities could emerge as a winner if he does indeed follow through on his pledges to cut corporate tax and impose import tariffs. Second, from China's NPC, potentially leaves us with more of a range-bound outcome for Chinese equity markets, Asian dollar bonds and the CNH. And finally, earnings growth in Chinese equities, potentially the more important factor to watch beyond just multiples and sentiment alone. So thank you, Fuken, for taking the time to have a conversation with us today. And thank you, listeners, for joining us for another session of Through the Noise. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation and we look forward to speaking with you again next week.
Thank you for listening to Standard Chartered Money Insights, a podcast series by Standard Chartered Bank. For more details, visit Market Views on the go on our website or click the link in the description.